Now, the Trail Talk Podcast, anything and everything snowmobiling. By UpstateSnow.com, I'm Rich Lupia, the owner and host. Let's get ready to ride. Trail Talk Tuesday here on UpstateSnow.com, the Trail Talk Podcast. He was one of our first guests on the podcast. He is the trail coordinator for the New York State Snowmobile Association. Our good friend Jim Rolfe joining us on this Tuesday before Christmas. How you doing, sir?
Great, Rich. How have you been?
I'm doing well. And I hear Santa Claus, ho, 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 has some good news with regards to snowmobile seasons. Now, of course, obviously there's not adequate snow cover across the entire state to open up, but hunting seasons are over, and you have some news on the extended hunting season that we were worried about. So in case you missed it, what do people need to know?
Thanks, Rich. Back in September, the DEC had released a proposed regulation change to add 9 days to the or 7 days to the hunting season in between Christmas and encompassing New Year's Day. And, you know, as you know, and all of the snowmobilers know, that is snowmobile season. And this would be in the southern tier only. So, you know, there's some places that don't have snow that time of year, but there are some places that do. So, especially in the lake effect areas. So, you know, on a general year, not maybe the last couple of years. So we polled our clubs. We polled our members, we polled our landowners, and we wanted to see where they were stood on it. And obviously we knew where most of them stood because those of us that talk to landowners every year as volunteers for clubs, we knew that they don't want us on their land during hunting season, which includes bow season and muzzleloaders. So this extended, they call it a holiday hunt, would be just for muzzleloader and bow. Actually it was just for bow, I believe. And we put out a message to our members and clubs to contact the DEC. So overall, including those that supported such a season, you know, some of the hunters and some of the landowners, I would think, and then our opposition letters, there were over 3,000 received by the DEC. So they decided to hold off this year on it. They're going to do some more research. There's actually a new policy plan coming out. It's comment period right now, and it includes that holiday hunt in there one more time. So we're going to have to make some more comments, against it, make our opinion known to the DEC, and hopefully we can hold it off. You know, one of the things that kind of bugged me the most, and I put it in my comments to the DEC, was they wanted to invite hunters and have the opportunity for young hunters in school, in college, to be able to have the opportunity to go hunt with their family during their off time. And my argument was, well, what about snowmobilers? You don't think that if when there's snow on the ground, that young snowmobilers want to go snowmobiling with their family during that same week? It's also, when there is snow on the ground, it's generally one of the busiest weeks out there because of everybody off from work, a lot of people off from work and off from school. And, it's holiday time. They're going to go out and after Christmas is over and actually enjoy the snow, enjoy the trails, and spend money in businesses. So it would be detrimental to business.
Spend time with family because the hunting community, yes, they have a positive economic impact, but not to the level of snowmobiling, and certainly not how snowmobiling has grown. When you look at how hunting has, I don't want to say declined, but just to say that there aren't as many people hunting now as there was 30 to 40 years ago. And my dad bow hunted, and it didn't pass on down to me. I didn't have interest in it. And I don't see a whole lot of young bow hunters out there. When you see the direction that hunting has gone to, where hunting has held steady, if not declined a little bit over the last 30 to 40 years, and how much snowmobiling has blossomed in the last 30 to 40 years because of the hard work that the clubs have put in, because of what you guys at NYSA have done, and the businesses that cater to them, I think it's blatantly obvious what the choice is here. If anything, some of the early snows that we've had, you know, into early December, especially in the southern zone, and especially with the snow that just happened last week, there's a lot of people that are like, man, you know, this is great snow, but we can't do anything with it. So trying to find that balance is there. And I appreciate you standing up for the snowmobile community, you know, in regards to that, for sure.
Oh, yeah, we have to, obviously. And so today actually is the first day then that the Southern Tier is fully ended. And where the clubs have been able to get out and finish signing and have their trails ready to be open and there's snow on the ground, they'll make the determination to open or not, hopefully in the next couple of days. And so hopefully snow will stay and you'll give us some good news on forecasts to come. And during that Christmas week to New Year's week, we can have some snowmobiling in the Southern Tier as well as the Northern Tier.
Brother, trust me, I would love to just aim the lake effect guns and just spray the state with a half a foot to a foot of snow. But if it were that easy, I would be doing something else, and I would be worth a lot more money and probably a marked man because of all the people that don't like the snow. But of course, we love the snow here and talk more about it. So talking about some issues, pivoting off from hunting into the Tri-Lakes area and the rail trail between Tupper Lake and Saranac and Lake Placid, do you have any updates on how the removal is going up there and how things are looking with the clubs up there from Tupper to Lake Placid in terms of what improvements they could potentially expect this season?
Well, it's going a little slower than what was anticipated. The vendor is removing the rails still, but they got so far ahead with the rail removal that the DOT had to tell them to put the brakes on for a minute because you're leaving the ties and the steel plates and the other, you know, the spikes and stuff behind, and we need that cleaned up for a safe snowmobile trail. So they pulled their crews, they put them back. So now they've been picking up the ties, picking up the plates and the steel, all the other steel parts that were left behind. And then they'll be going through and picking up all those piles here pretty soon. So, you know, we're hoping that the Tri-Lakes doesn't get too much snow here before the first of the year, so they can get at least to the goal for now for the DOT is to get the Lake Clear Junction, have that trail open, so that, you know, the trail can head north from there towards Malone, and points in between. And then unfortunately, you know, the Saranac Lake run and to Lake Placid may have rails on it. All depends on snow again. So if the snow's not too deep, that when after the holiday season, they're going to come back and they're going to start working their way towards Saranac Lake and then on to Lake Placid. But by then, we hope there's enough snow that at least the rails can be covered and the clubs out there on that end, the Lake Placid Snowboard Club can at least groom the trails. It's not optimum, but the DOT, did some work this year on the Lake Colby Causeway and widened it out quite a bit. So that was one of the sketchy spots for the Lake Placid Club. That's now been fixed, or at least the groomer can hang one track outside the rails and the other track on the inside of the rails, and not, for lack of a better term, try to run a groomer on, which is steel tracks on top of those steel rails. It's like ice skates out there, and they were slipping and sliding. It was a lot of close calls for that club. So this would be a lot better for them, even with the rails in place. But by next year, all the rails will be gone. The trail will be, you know, systematically built. They've got to do some environmental remediation here and there, and there's some other things that have to be done, subsurface. And then the top surface, interpretive kiosks and things like that going forward. So they're saying the trail won't be done until 2023. Hopefully, it can be done before that. But it's good news. I mean, you know, a lot of us have been fighting for this. I know for myself, I've been, you know, sending letters and postcards to the DOT for probably 15 years. There's other people who have been involved in this for 20 plus years trying to get rid of those rails. So we would have had, we're much rather had it all the way down to Big Moose Station. But at this point, we're going to have to take what the state's willing to give at this point, and possibly maybe they'll see the light. If we have a good year up in the Tri Lakes area and snowmobilers flock to that area and show the state what that rail trail could do for the businesses there, who knows? Maybe they could hold off on the rail rehab south of Tupper to Big Moose and turn that into a trail as well.
It would be, that would nice. Be the ultimate. It would be nice to get it all the way down from Old Forge to Lake Placid, you know, or, you know, Thendera, or even if it's Big Moose, it would be nice, you know, to get it down there. And from a lot of people that I've talked to in the snowmobile community and from people that have opined on it whenever we've posted articles, there seems to be a huge demand for that out there, even if it's not used much by hikers or mountain bikers during the summertime, because it is very remote wilderness with no cell coverage. It is a super highway without the rails. It is a super highway and a connector of the grade of a Tug Hill seasonal road that will transport people across the Adirondacks quickly. And instead of focusing so much traffic and so much density into Moose River Plains, into Hamilton County, into Indian Lake, into Old Forge and Inlet, and into the connections there going to Branningham and to Tug Hill. Some of the most popular snowmobile areas of the state, some of the most beautiful vistas of the state. But to open up that safety valve, that release valve, going up C7, a brand new C7 without the rails, getting up to Tupper, the Tri-Lakes, a quick way also up into St. Lawrence County, Cranberry Lake, Star Lake, and other really important and big snowmobile areas, to be able to connect these places would be awesome. Would be awesome to do, and I certainly hope that NYSA and other snowmobilers will join us in advocacy for that, because you know, it's time to do it. It's time to do it. And this is coming from somebody who wanted the rails, but eventually kind of saw the light and came around in the last 5-6 years.
Well, the rails will still be there for the scenic run from Utica to Thendera or Big Moose, wherever they would have, if for, you know, our goal ever came to fruition, wherever they would make the terminus, the rails will still be there for that scenic railroad. So it brings benefit to the area. But you're right, a multi-use four-season trail from the Old Forge area all the way to Lake Placid, wow. Well, you know, people will come from worldwide to see a trail like that, you know, 90 miles long. So we're still going to work at it. Exactly.
Jim, one of the biggest things that NYSA is bringing to the table this year that is live online, that you can get on the App Store through Apple or through Google Play, is the interactive snowmobile trail map. Tell us more about it, how much it is, and the features and benefits of downloading this NYSA trail app.
Sure. Thanks, Rich. This is our second year for the NYSA mobile app, which is all the snowmobile trails in New York State, funded and unfunded as well. It's $4.99 for the year. The year ends October 31st, 2021. So it'd be a nice Christmas present right now for somebody to buy a stocking stuffer for their loved one who's into snowmobiling. They can buy it, and then they can download it from the Play Store. We built a few years ago an interactive web map, and in the interactive web map, all the funded trails that clubs are responsible for are in there, and then they also can draw in or submit their GPS data to our vendor of their unfunded trails, which, you know, the reason they're unfunded is there's just not enough money, in the program coming in to pay for those types of trails. So not to say they're less important. They're just no money there. The revenue's not there. So the clubs maintain them out of their own pockets. They get business donations or whatever to, you know, if they can afford to do it, they do it. They handle it themselves. So they draw them in. Those trails are all there. That's the only app anyone will ever find with New York snowmobile trails on it that have the club trails the way drawn in by the clubs. There's business points of interest, POIs, that are on there. And one of the things that I want to point out for this year that's going to be important, we'll talk about COVID in a little bit, but with COVID, we need to know who's open, who's closed, what their hours are, what days are open, because it's things have changed. You know, obviously, at this point, we're stuck with rules that all the businesses have to stop serving dinner and beverages at 10 o'clock a.m. or 10 o'clock p.m., excuse me. So
don't give Cuomo any ideas. Don't give Cuomo any ideas.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Right. My apologies. but on the interactive web map and also on the app, which is carried over there to the app, those are viewable on there, and you can open them up. Each one, you click on it with your finger on your phone. It'll show you the name of the business, the services they offer, phone number, website, or Facebook link. And as long as whoever enters the data can put hours and days and things like that. so that's going to be key. The mobile app, the benefit of the mobile app is you don't need cell service to run it. There's a download feature for an offline map. So, and it will track you where you are, even on the offline version, when you don't have cell service, and it knows right where you are. We have a new feature this year that's brand new. We're still tinkering with it a little bit. It's a breadcrumb feature. Will actually track you where you've been. So at least you kind of get an idea of where you were. The hopes and the plans for that, we later on to share that those routes with your friends or save them as your favorite routes, kind of a thing. But the idea that when you're in the middle of nowhere and knowing what trail number you're on, what intersection you're at, which way is home, which way is what's to the west, what's to the east, what's to the north, and that's something that a lot of people are very appreciative of having at their fingertips on their phone. This app is just so anybody, that questions the $5 cost, it's at this point, a $35,000 plus venture that NYSA and our, as a matter of fact, our vendor is 50-50 partners with us on it, because we couldn't have done this on our own. So we got to thank our vendor, Corson GIS, CGIS out of Maine, actually, a big snowmobiler in Maine. Who loves playing with this type of technology. So we'd like to be able to make our money back someday. And if we can give it away for free at some point in time, we'd love to be able to give it away for free. But right now, it's still in its infancy stages. Offline, you and I talked about the technology that Linda Rockwood had for MVGIS, and Linda was a great asset to our community. Unfortunately, she passed away last winter. Linda started out charging $25 for her app. The last couple of years, it was $15 for the full features. $5 is still relatively cheap. Inexpensive, I should say, and we'll continue to build upon that. And as the new data comes in and clubs submit new data to our vendor, then there's always daily update builds. Every day you can, while you're on Wi-Fi, you can go in and download that daily build. So when you're offline again, route riding, you have the newest technology. So we highly suggest to people that before they leave for a ride, they download the daily build while they're on Wi-Fi. And then they have the exact data right up to date, whatever the clubs have entered in there as of the minute they downloaded it. So you're not going to get that in any other app available out there. So,
excellent. So bye.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I mentioned COVID. I'm not sure if you want to go on anything else at this point, but I think, you know, with COVID.
Yeah, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and we've brought it up in every podcast. It's just unavoidable. You know, the biggest concern that I've had all along is, you know how the winters can get. The wind starts blowing, you start getting wind chills well below zero. You've been out on the snowmobile for hours, and yes, you get warm riding, but still, you got to get in and warm up. You still need to take a break. That's a part of the snowmobile experience. Obviously, we understand with the restrictions that are in place, but you get so many people out there, you're going to end up in a situation to where you're not going to be able to warm up or do anything. Some places like the Oxbow and outside of Paseco have this huge fire pit that they've come up with and clearing and lean-tos to help act as a windbreak. Some businesses that have the resources are able to come up with ideas like this. Some of the other clubs that I've talked to have talked about doing more hot dog roasts, just so at least there's something on the trail, and, you know, kind of getting little bonfires in place and, you know, and stuff like that. So I like some of the creativity that's coming out of that. But overall, more from a safety feature is, especially if the weather gets extreme, if it's a choice between violating a rule and somebody possibly getting hypothermia, you know, I have my personal opinion on how that should go that some people may or may not agree with. I wanted to get your thoughts about that, because that me as a meteorologist, as somebody that's warned against extreme weather, obviously forecasting snow, but has been used to warning against extreme weather, that's my biggest concern is that somebody gets frostbite or a cold-related death happens because of these restrictions. That's my biggest concern.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, we would that's a concern of ours as well, you know, and unfortunately, with the restrictions in place, there seems to be certain people that are out looking to turn places in for violating these restrictions that are in place, the executive orders. In that case, knowing that there's possibly somebody who's got some major health issues because of the cold, I would hope no one would want to turn somebody in for them for a business catering to somebody and bringing them in and helping them out. You know, doesn't matter how old they are. That's what, and you know, and all snowmobilers are generous people to each other. So, you know, I hope that never gets to that point. I mean, it's a pretty extreme hypothetical that I hope we never get to. I hopefully, you know, this thing breaks here pretty soon and we can get back to some semi-normalcy of living our life. But, you know, we got to plan ahead. I guess one of the things that I've been telling people is go to, you know, you always see on different sites, and we've put things out here at NYSA about what to take with you when you go snowmobiling. You know, one of the things is always matches and something to start a fire with, a blanket, you know, one of those thermal space blankets, you know, that look like aluminum foil, things like that. You know, I'm not sure how many people do it. But
emergency
right now,
kits
this year,
are key. Emergency this year, kits are key.
It's what's that?
Emergency kits are key.
Yeah. But they also sell hand warmers. They sell the big, they call them the big hand warmers. They got the little ones that go in gloves. They got the bigger ones that go in the pockets. You can put them in your pocket. They have toe warmers. So especially in the case of family members taking out kids. And I got to tell you, back years ago, I used to stuff hand warmers down in the bottom of my kids' toes on their boots. And when their toes would get cold, you know, in order to get to the next place, you got to do what you got to do. Go out and buy hand warmers. I can't push that enough on people. Keep them with you, back of your sled, you know, in a paper bag. Or, you know, you can't use a plastic bag anymore because that's been outlawed here too in New York State. But keep them in some type of a Ziploc bag, bring them with you, and utilize them if you need them. But hot dog roasts, I got to tell you, Rich, we actually have been advised, being advised that the local county health departments are advising against that, because it's going to promote people being next to each other. It's going to be promoting people being next to each other. Some of the businesses, like you said, you mentioned Oxbow Inn, and I'll mention the Norwich Walk. A lot of businesses like that. CV's Corners up in St. Lawrence County. They brought in more and more the ability to go food. The Oxbow, you mentioned that big fire pit that they put in. I believe a big tent as well, yes, is going up there for people to eat outside. But you're still going to have to social distance, or you run the risk of, the business runs a risk of somebody taking a picture and send it into to the governor's official office, or just filing a complaint. You still got a social distance until that gets lax or relaxed a little bit more, no matter where you are. But the hot dog thing, and they also, it's a county rule that you have to have a health department permit to sell or to serve hot dogs on a trail. So, you know, what happens if somebody, this is how it was said to me, proposed to me. You go somewhere and you get a hot dog from Club XYZ because they had a nice hot dog roast out there. And next thing you know, you get COVID. Well, the only place you got COVID or that you could have got COVID was standing next to somebody at the hot dog line. You know, that's, the health departments are pushing away. They're warning, just giving little subtle warnings to be, you know, that might not be the best thing to do. And I know your point, and I know, you know, clubs, it could help, but we got to be realistic in the times we're in. You know, we all got to do what we got to do. Listen, you could put, they got those little hot dog roasters, you know, that they sell, they go on the pipes of a snowmobile. Mm-hmm. You cook your own hot dog. Yeah. Driving down the trail, you know, frozen bun in the back of your sled, but you're still going to have a nice hot dog.
it'll still defrost it at, you know, there at some point, go. But,
peanut butter, jelly sandwiches, bologna and cheese, ham and cheese, turkey, you bring your own stuff. But you know something, when I say that, I'm just going to tell you one thing too, is we have to support our businesses that are going to remain open through the winter. They're here. They need to survive the winter, and up to the 50% capacity that they're at right now, if that's where it stays, maybe we can go a little bit higher, hopefully soon. We've got to support our businesses as well. So staying on that line, making sure that we're staying safe, social distance, mask, whatever, everything that's in place, but support the businesses. But you know, so if you pull up to a business in an area and they're jam-packed with snowmobilers, you might want to ride on to the next one at that point. You know, we got to do that. So in areas that are heavily, heavily populated with snowmobilers on a general, every day, we'll say, but mainly on the weekends, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I think that a lot more people, because, you know, Rich, we haven't been able to take vacations. So people that have jobs where they can take vacation days, go out during the week. Some of these businesses are a lot of businesses will be open during the week, but spread it out a little bit more. Maybe not concentrate just on weekends. You know, right. We haven't been able to go to, you know, the sunny Florida for the most part. You know, so people should be saved up some of their vacation days and use them on snowmobiling. That's another suggestion that we're pushing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, Jim, I really believe that people are already doing that. We kind of saw a precursor to that when it took a while to get the snow in, and when we had a window of a couple of days before the big thaw came in early January, literally everyone called in sick, and this was before we even knew what COVID was in early January, and the Tug Right. Hill and Adirondacks were overrun, you know, long-timers up there on a Wednesday, and I was in the middle of it, in the middle of literally hundreds of sleds that I passed that day, you know, with Zach and with the rest of my riding party. You know, they were like, this is busier than a Saturday, busier than a Sunday. And, yep. You know, so I think that precedent has already been set. So many people are working remote. So many people have options. It's not, you know, we're not living life the way that we were before. And I think it's going to be a long time before we go back to that. I think a lot of that is built in. I think a lot of that is built in already, and, you know, certainly encouraging it like you have, and I'm going to encourage the same thing as well. Spread it out. Ride when you can. Don't be afraid to take that moonlight ride in the evening. I'll advise you when some good moonlight conditions for, you know, for riding, when the, you know, half to full moon, you know, comes about and we get some clear skies and you get the silhouette of the countryside and the background. I'll let you know when that stuff you know, comes up, but try and spread out the riding as much as you possibly can. And Jim, you know that I'm not really much of a political guy, and I'm not going to bring this up, but just as a camaraderie of snowmobilers in the community, don't turn people in and just look out for each other. Exactly. Obviously follow the rules, but just remember, you know, if somebody gets upset, it's all it takes is one person. You know, it, people are just trying to make a living. And, you know, when we get into the point where we're starting to turn in people for stuff, that is just, that's not a good place for us as people. We need to be helping each other out. We need to be giving back to each other. One of the things I've loved about snowmobiling is that if you're broken down on the trail, everyone slows down. Hey, can I help you? Are you okay? You know, if there are a bunch of people pulled off on the trail, even just to rest, I always slow down and, you know, give the thumbs up and just make sure that they give the thumbs up as well. And it's kind of like, hey, we're good. And then you move on. You know, we got to look out for each other and look to help each other, not hurt each other. And I'm not going to apologize for that stance.
No, I'm with you 110%, Rich. You know, it is unfortunate. I mean, you know, there's businesses that are being listed on the newspaper sites, media sites now locally, as to which ones have been fined and how much the fine is. And, you know, it's highlighting something that I just, it makes me sick to see it. And to know that most of those situations were not because somebody of official capacity walked in and caught them. Some were obviously, but they were mostly from someone taking a picture or a video and then supplying it to the state to turn them in. And that's sad. I mean, a restaurant that I know very well had people dancing in the parking lot, not at where their liquor license is. Dancing in the parking lot because there was a live band outside, and they got fined for it. They were written up and issued a fine for it. Those people weren't even customers of this business. So it's all because somebody took a video and turned them in, and that's sad. It's really is sad. So. I like your advice. You know, I agree with it. You know, let's be safe and get through this. And we're all on the same page. We're trying to enjoy our lives and snowmobiling. You know, for some of us is a big part of that. But more importantly, on the level of the businesses, these people, that's their lives. That's their livelihoods. That's their life savings. That's their future. You know, don't none of them are out there blatantly right now disregarding any of the restrictions.
I can say that with full assurance. I know a lot of these business owners and restaurateurs, the last thing that they want to do is jeopardize their livelihood. So, you know, a little grace would go good right now.
Sure would.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
We're all in this together. We all got to get through this together. And
right.
We need these businesses. They need us. That's what makes the world go round. And all the service industry is really hurting right now. Mm-hmm. Snowmobile sales have gone through the roof. ATVs, boats, motorhomes gone through the roof. Can't keep them in stock. That's great for those of us that can enjoy that. But the businesses have to remain because we have to have somewhere to go.
Yeah. Otherwise we're all making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, trailside, you know, or yeah. In our motorhome, you know, the rest of the year. And meanwhile, people's hopes and dreams, you know, get shattered because some people think that they're trying to do good, but they're actually doing more harm than good. But, you know, I have faith, Jim. I mean, the snowmobiling community, especially in New York State, is a great community with great people. Yeah, you have your handful that are, you know, disrespectful and that don't follow the rules, riding off trail and causing problems with landowners. And there may be a few that try to cause problems here. But I have faith and trust in the vast majority of the good people of upstate New York, and from people visiting from other places that are able to visit and ride in upstate New York this winter, that they will do the right thing, that they will follow the rules, that they will be respectful of each other and help people, not hurt them. And that's really a great way to end the podcast here. Jim, we appreciate what you and the rest of the staff at NYSA have done for us. Download the NYSA Trail app. On the App Store or on Google Play, makes a great Christmas gift. Hello, last-minute Christmas gifts. Men, you've only started shopping now. If you're listening to this on, you know, on Tuesday, Christmas is Friday. Here's one way to get out of the doghouse, especially if your wife likes to ride. Jim, it's been great talking with you, and I'll let you have the last word on the podcast.
Well, thanks, Rich, for having these podcasts and updating our trail conditions when the trails do open. We really appreciate that. And, you know, whatever you can do as a weather forecaster and to put a little plug in for us, I know you always do, but we need snow statewide this year. If we can have snow statewide for a long period of time, extended period of time, it will go to also help that this social distancing out, because we can space it out.
Trust me,
space people.
Trust me, brother.
We all need it. All the businesses need it.
Trust me, brother. If I had the power, I would deliver the snow. And if I had that kind of power, COVID would be over. I would use it for the good if I had that kind of power. But in the meantime, all we can do is pray to God and just help each other out in any way that we can and do the right thing. So I will do my best to forecast snow accurately and as much of it as possible without exceeding the legal limit.
There you go. Thanks, Rich.
Hey, appreciate you. Jim Rolfe, trail coordinator from the New York State Snowmobile Association.
Great friend.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And God bless you and your family. Stay healthy. Stay safe. From the New York State Snowmobile Association and from us here at UpstateSnow.com. Thanks for listening to the Trail Talk Podcast. For more podcast episodes, weather information, and so much more, visit UpstateSnow.com.